up, everyone? This is Jay, a.k.a. Brother Soap, welcoming you to the 47th episode of the British Soap Podcast. I don't know why I do the British thing, but that's what I do. Why? I am here with my home girl, the Ruby to my Martin. What's up, Boo Thang?
Hi, everybody. How are you?
Well, I'm doing good because I found a way to get back at my trifling ass wife. How soon do you think it's going to be before we're having a double wedding with Max and Stacy?
No.
Is that a veto?
I veto this. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm really mad that Stacy and Martin broke up over something so trivial. Mm-hmm. But I really don't want her with Max again because their chemistry is good and stuff, but we've seen it before and I don't want to deal with it again.
Yeah, they do have that chemistry though.
They really do. Mm-hmm.
What do you feel about the chemistry in the kitchen between Ruby and Martin?
Martin has chemistry with everybody.
That is true.
I'm like, all I have to do is look at him and it's just like, boom.
This is why I feel like Stacy is an idiot. Like, how you gonna let that man go? Like, and how you just gonna accept that all of a sudden he cheated on you with his ex-wife? Come on, sis.
Yeah, it's like, you could tell he was lying. He had that look in his face. He's like, dude, I'm doing this to keep you safe. That's all he had to say. He didn't have to say, oh, I'm leaving you because I slept with Sonia, because, you know, uh-uh. They're just friends. Yeah. Stacy's an idiot. She's been an idiot for a while now.
Yeah, I don't know when she's coming back, but, you know, she comes back. Finding out about the new relationship between Martin and Ruby, I think there's going to be fire raining down upon
her. Oh, hell yeah.
I really, really do. Yes. All right, baby girl. Well, if you guys have any questions about anything related to British soaps, or we don't cover something today you would have liked us to talk about, head over to bittersoulpodcast.tumblr.com to shoot us an ask or hit us up on the Twitterations at UK Soap Podcast. And if you enjoyed the show and have a few seconds to spare, please take a moment to review our show on the Apple Podcast. Last month, after my rants being mad, we had a 2.7. We did get 2 additional ratings. Love to the person who gave us a 5-star rating, getting us up to a 3.0. And then daggers to whoever it was that gave us a lower rating that brought us back down to our 2.8.
Shucks. Well, it happens. You just gotta, you know.
This is my thing. I have decided I'm good with the 2.8 because that is a B average in GPA. So I'm cool with it.
But I'm like, this is true. This is my grade point average.
Yes, it was my grade point average for quite some time. I'm cool being a B student. But if anyone listening that's a long-term listener would like to and feel motivated to help us raise that GPA, we'd be cool with that too. So thank you for that.
Thank you for the reviews, you guys.
Yes, the good reviews.
We appreciate all of them.
Yes, only thanks for the good reviews. I ain't thankful for the negative reviews.
Fuck. Oh, you should be thankful for any review that you get because it's so
no, I am. I am not resolving to do that in my New Year's resolution. Now, I refuse. Shucks. All right, let's take it on to Corey, baby girl. We're going to start off by doing our standard quiz. I have actually already recorded with Shane, and you guys will hear at the end of the show us talking about our What the Hells and Scenes of the Week for Corey. But with Miss Lance, we're going back to our standard quiz, which is this week, this month, being referred to as Three Lies and a Truth?
Question, Mike?
Because, see, I have four statements here, or four kind of story beats here. Typically, there are three lies and a truth. This week, there may be three lies and the truth.
And so, that, so happy? You don't know yet?
In that they may all be lies or they may all be truths.
Fair enough.
Yes. Or they may be some lies, some truth.
Fair so, enough. I understand.
So let's carry on. Let's go through three lies and a truth. And I think we're going to do this a little bit different. I'm going to do them one at a time. And I'm going to get you to tell me if you think it's a lie or a truth. And then I'm just going to do the reveal right after. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
So, all right. It's choose your own adventure. Do you want one, two, three, or four?
Three. My favorite number.
All right. Number three. Michelle forgives Robert for cheating on her.
Bullshit. Because I watched the episode where she wants to take his ass down. So, no.
Yes, but she did tell Robert she forgave him. So I was like, kind of lie.
I'm like, it was partial, I guess. But at the same time, I'm just like, no. Absolutely not. So that's a questionable both ways thing. Yes. Because she did, quote unquote, forgive him in air quotes. I did do air quotes there. Uh-huh. But she definitely didn't.
Yeah. So yes, that, when I was writing them out, I was like, that's kind of like a truth. So, yes. All right. That's number one. Yeah, well, one, two, or four?
Let's go with four.
Four. Roy finds out he has a secret sister.
Ooh. That would be cool, but I think it's a lie.
What do you think he found out?
I don't know. A secret daughter, or son, or random love child that he didn't know anything about?
Brother.
Oh!
Mm-hmm.
Nice!
With a goth child?
What?
Yeah, it's weird. Roy has a secret brother that, you know, I kind of going out and watching, but he's dying of some disease,
mm-hmm.
and his caretaker is like, I'm not sure if she's high school age or college age, I think college age, this college age girl who is always dressed like the gothest girl.
Daddy! Oh.
But like, seriously, in the makeup, looking like Wednesday Addams, but like, with actual the very white, you know, makeup on the face, very dark, it's odd. So like, Roy's in scenes trying to be all sentimental with this guy who is his brother and is dying. And then in the background, you got Wednesday Addams, older twin. Hovering. It's just, yeah, it's weird.
I'm not sure how I feel about that.
Yeah, it's odd. All right, so do you want one or two?
One.
Number one. Peter convinces Daniel to attend Sinead's funeral.
False.
Who did it?
It was Sinead's aunt, whose name I can't think of at the moment.
Beth to the rescue.
Beth was the one who was like, dude, go get a suit, iron your shirt, and get your cast in it, we'll go.
I thought that was so good.
It was beautifully done. I have to say, I was very happy with that. So that was a good couple episodes all around. So.
And especially with Beth being as angry with Daniel as she was, like, I thought it was cool that she worked through that anger to make sure he was there for his wife and their child. I thought that was
awesome.
Yes, all right. And the one that is the last, Chesney gets into a fight with David's rapist.
No, I thought it was, wasn't it the guy who was seeing Billy?
You got it. That's Paul. Yeah. Chesney got into a fight with Paul's rapist. That's right. So you saw that episode, right?
Yeah.
Do you remember back in the day when, after David had gotten raped, and he started seeing Josh hanging around with different people in Coronation Street?
Mm-hmm.
One of the dudes that he was hanging around with was Chesney, remember?
Yes.
And David, you know, was acting all weird and very hyper, but he never told Chesney why he was worried about Chesney being around Josh.
Yeah.
So when he was just, he was like pissed off, like, hold on, he got our kids by a pedophile. I was like, boy, I wish I could have seen that towards David a few years back when he didn't say anything. Because I do appreciate, like, they aren't going down the exact same path that the show's gone down before, where they, like, just let the abuser get away with it forever. And they are acknowledging, like, if you are silent about the abuse, it's possible that it could happen to somebody else. And I thought that was mm-hmm. good. So, yeah. What did you think? Because I know all those characters are kind of new to you.
I'm like, all those characters are near non-existent to me. So I kind of watched the one episode and I kind of surmised that answer mm-hmm. from the conversation that David and him were having at the pub while everybody was, you know, having their own separate little conversations about Daniel's death and not Daniel's death. But Sinead
does. This is why I'm mad you didn't watch that episode. Had you watched that episode, you would have understood the conversation. It was so good. But you got to go back and watch. It's really good. And for all the time we wasted watching Josh's stupid storyline during Kate Oates, you need to see how that ends. It's great.
All right. Yeah. I will definitely do that.
Yeah, it's great. But yeah, that's good. So yeah, Mama. You got it. That's the quiz. Yep. Good job. I like
all that. All based around one episode of viewing, and I got them all right.
Exactly.
The only one I didn't know for sure was Roy's, because I haven't seen Roy in so damn long.
Exactly. Yeah, and I like the new brother. I think he's great, but yeah, that gotcha. Gotta go. He's got to go. All right, baby girl, let's slide on over to EastEnders. Let's start off with those what the hells. What did EastEnders do to make you say, what's in the hell?
Well, let's talk about Ben. Ugh. Everything Ben does, he thinks he does for a reason. And because he wants to be like his dad, or he wants to take stuff from his dad, he's just being a little punk face, and he tries to get away with everything, even after he was almost shot and killed. And it's driving me batshit bananas. But what really gets me is when his dead boyfriend's grandma comes to town.
Oh.
Pam Coker comes to town. And he just blows Callum off as, oh, he's just my best friend. He is nothing to me but my best friend. And Pam is the one who has to get it through his little pea brain that he can let him go. I kind of wish Les came around. Maybe he would have socked him in the head and knocked some sense into him, too. But, I mean, like, if you don't want to knock somebody's memory, say, hey, Pam, I wanted to let you know I didn't forget him, but I'm dating somebody else. It's not that difficult to do.
You know, my what the hell from that particular return was Pam talking about some Ben has the kindest heart.
That killed me. I was like, he has the kindest heart I've ever met. And I'm like,
oh my God.
Are you fucking kidding me?
Oh my God. I was just like, the comedy. The absolute comedy.
Yeah, I was just like, it was nice that, you know, he finally got his head out of his ass, but I just don't like Ben as a human being anymore. I liked him back when he was the other guy, when he actually had some kind of sensitivity into him. But the dude that's playing him now has none of that. And it kind of kills my soul a little bit that they're putting Callum with him.
Callum? Yeah. Yeah. Though, I will say the cop twist, I think.
Yeah, I'm for that.
Yeah.
I like that he's... I don't like the fact that he's trying to pull a good... The good guy card out of his ass last second. Because he wants to be with Callum. You don't just stop being a bad guy because your boyfriend wants to be a cop. It's not going to last long. I can tell you that right now. But yeah. I just couldn't with that. My second one, we've already kind of talked about. It was when Martin went to the hotel room and broke up with Stacy.
Yes.
And over something stupid. So, yeah, I'm just like, I understand that you were hung over a bridge and shit and were threatened and all this good stuff by a young man half your age, but I'm just like, are you really gonna, you know, deal with that shit? Just tell her Ben doesn't, or Ben's threatening you and the kids, and I don't want you to come back right now and not say, oh, I'm sleeping with Sonia. No, that doesn't bode well with me.
What else you got for instance?
I kind of hate Ian Beale, again, because he was kind of getting back into my good books, trying to, you know, understand Bobby's stuff.
Yeah.
And then he decided he wanted to be counselor, and all of his credibility went out the window again.
Yeah, I'm not sure what's going on with Ian, because he's backsliding and not taking Bobby seriously with regards to the his religion anymore. He hired Ruby to be his consultant, but is like being disrespectful to her and her advice. He, one of my what the hells is him being in on this scheme to ruin Keegan's business.
Oh yeah, the cockroach in the set. Oh yeah, that pissed me off.
I'm like, what, you're a grown ass man. You can't let a man that's trying to hustle and, you know, be his own, you know, venture out and do his own thing. You're trying to ruin that to what? Make more money in your little rink-a-dink businesses that nobody cares about? Right. And his actions were so infuriating that they pissed off Ikra, I believe. And so now she quit working the job, you know, with him. So, yeah.
They quit working the job with him to go work for Keegan.
Yeah.
Or with Keegan. Because she has a business degree, unlike Ian, who just opened a bunch of businesses with no, you know, anything other than, you know, quote-unquote good people skills.
And I don't know why they're doing that with Ian's character, but you're right. It is totally ruining him. So,
I mean, I seriously was liking him for like 2 seconds, and then it was just like, oh, we're going to do all this shit to him and make him look like an asshole again. And I'm just like,
yeah, Easton just wanted to remember Ian Beale is trash, and they are definitely, every episode he's on, they're definitely making that crystal clear.
Mm-hmm.
Crystal clear.
Agreed.
I want to jump to a couple of my other what the hell. So, because of the twist with this one, it bothers me a little bit less now, but I was really bothered by Honey being blind to how, what's his name, was treating her. Like, she knew in her heart that he was a cheat, but she's still choosing to stay with him, and I was just driving
me crazy. Well, he's sleeping soon anyway, so I hope she's the one who kicks him out. So.
Yeah, and I hope that she doesn't get harmed, you know, while he's on his way out for shocks, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, and I do appreciate the twist where she's dealing with an eating disorder.
Mm-hmm.
That was noticed by Ikra's girlfriend, who's the nurse. Like, I thought that was really good. And the bit where she's just like, you know, how could you have been hiding this? And, you know, because Honey's like, you know, I'm really used to doing this. And she kind of talked about how she'd been having struggles with that since she was a teenager. And then the girlfriend was just kind of like, well, someone that's genuinely interested in you would have noticed.
Yeah, Ash.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. That was an interesting twist. I'm kind of interested in seeing where they take the eating disorder thing with Honey, but yeah, that was something. I think that's going to be a trip to watch. And I also didn't like what was going on with Linda.
Oh hell no!
The past couple weeks, yeah, this thing, like, I really didn't understand why they were like making her try to be best friends with those mean moms.
I think they were doing it so she could, you know, understand why they were treating her son like shit. But at the same time, it's just like, why would you go through the trouble of doing that when all she's going to do is crash her car into the worst of them's car and then drive away and lose her driver's license and all of that stuff? I'm just like, I understand you're mad and stuff, but Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Oh, dear. I will be so glad when that relationship is over. I feel like it's just been a waste of time for so long, you know?
Mm-hmm. I mean, I understand that showing that their youngest child has autism is a very, you know, realistic thing and stuff. But using a bunch of moms with the quote-unquote popular kids to show how unpopular Linda's child is because he's sick, but not in a bad way, kind of pisses me off. So I kind of feel for Linda and them, but at the same time, it's just like, I'm glad they finally diagnosed him after, like, what, 4 months? 5 months?
Unfortunately, now we've got to deal with Linda, who has a drinking problem.
Yep, now Linda's drunk.
Now, Denise was up here abusing Patrick. She's up here getting traffic violations.
Yep.
It's going to be something else. And I'm wondering how drunk she's going to be by the time Lee gets back.
Oh, no kidding.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's going to be one hell of a Christmas, you know?
Yep.
All right. Let's switch to scenes of the week. What's your first scene of the week for EastEnders?
I liked the kind of blowback after Martin went and broke up with Stacy. I actually liked Martin and all of his stuff, to be honest with you, because it shows how low he's fallen and how he's trying to get back up, but failing so miserably to do it that he pulled the Ian Beale, I have nothing left scene, but actually made it believable, unlike Ian, who did not. I kind of liked his downward... I do. I like his downward fall, and I hope that they will bring him out of his downward fall now that dipshit pulled him from his stupid little contract he had with him. So, here's hoping. Ben doesn't become an idiot again, and, well, actually, he'll always be an idiot, but...
Seems like that's the path for him under this regime.
Yeah, indeed. So I kind of hope everything gets back up and up, but with, you know, him breaking up with Daisy and Jerome, magical Jerome just popping up after a week saying, oh, she was so mad at you, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, fuck off. But, yeah, I loved Martin's scenes with everybody. It was well done.
Totally agree. I need more of Martin getting over on everybody, and I think what's going on with him and Ruby is going to set the stage and hopefully do him continuing to be a boss for the coming months.
Let's hope.
Yes. You have any others for EastEnders?
I do have to admit, there was an Ian Beale scene that I enjoyed, and it was because it knocked Max Branning on his ass, and it made me laugh so flippin' hard when Ian forced Max to propose to Ruby. That was quite possibly the best, most what-the-hellish scene of the week I've ever seen, because it was both terrible and awesome at the same time. I think it was more her reaction that made it the scene of the week for me than his reaction, but everything about that made me giggle a lot.
Oh, I was like, no, is this a joke?
Are you fucking kidding me? You know I don't believe in marriage. I'm just like, boom. And then they just like broke up, and then they got back together-ish, and then they broke up again, and now Ruby's with Martin-ish, and I'm just like, yes, please.
Honestly, I don't know why Max is, like, so bothered by his age right now. He's decent looking. He can pull at the chicky bones.
He's a good looking middle-aged man.
Yeah, like, I don't know why all of a sudden he's bothered about some fucking extras that EastEnders hired to be old girl's young friends. And it's like, so upset that Jack keeps poking fun at his age. Like... Dude, you've been boning your son's girl, like, for all these years. Like, why are you bothered? Because he looks decent. He can get whatever girl he wants. He's as cute as Jack. And, like, these little things, like, people ribbing him for getting older and him, like, spontaneously proposing to some girl that he's only been with for 3 minutes. Like, I just don't know what EastEnders is trying to do with all that.
Just married. Let's not forget that.
Yeah, I'm just like, yeah, oh yeah, and he's married to a Rainey still. So I'm just like, I don't know why they're doing this storyline with him, but I don't think I like it.
No. Like, I don't like it at all, but I did think that the spontaneous Ian forcing them to him to propose was probably one of my favorite things the entire time. Yes. Even though, you know, even though I knew she was going to say no within like 3 seconds, because she keeps saying throughout the entire show, I do not believe in marriage. I do not believe. That's like her mantra. So it's just like, okay then.
Yes. All right. So I'm going to cover my scenes of the week. I think I'm going to do this kind of two ways. So I'm going to take three scenes of the week and just combine them all into one because they're kind of related. Mm-hmm. Ben getting shot, Jola being reunited because of Hunter's best, and Mel plotting to destroy the Mitchells. I got thought all that was beautiful. Like, yep. I can't remember if I talked.
That ghost truck was not okay.
Yeah, that was some bull. I can't remember if I talked about being happy about Ben being shot last episode, but he'd been doing so much bull, like, it was good to see something take him down. And I feel it's unfortunate that, like, EastEnders followed that up by having him do this crazy vendetta against, Martin, of all people, for some reason.
Yeah, like, Martin, the nicest guy in the flipping show. You go and stick.
And, I mean, his mom had to, like, shame him into stopping that mess, which I thought was stupid, too. But
he had to slap him upside the head.
It was just ridiculous. So, yeah. But I still felt good when I saw him shot. I didn't care. But it was, look, they got Ben on here, like, threatening to kill 75-year-old women, including women Pam's age. So I was like, you better watch out, girl. You know, selling women into sex trafficking, you know, stealing cars and all this other kind of stuff. I'm just like, he's doing too much. He's got to go. So I did not mind seeing him get doo-wop pop popped by Hunter. I thought it was funny. And then this whole Keanu storyline has been slow as hell. Like, ever since they, like, focused with Keanu being with Louise and Phil and Sharon being together, like, it's just boring. The heat was Keanu and Sharon doing their thing behind everybody's back, falling in love. So I appreciated, and I thought this was totally unexpected, Mel figuring out what was going on and everything she was doing to, like, get under Sharon's skin with regards to it. Because when Mel decided to turn her ire against Jack for the crime of getting her son sent to jail because he was doing too much, like, I thought it was stupid. Like, Hunter obviously needed to go to jail. He needed the help. He needed that structure. Like, don't be mad at Jack for that. Like, Jack didn't bring that guy into your lives that your son killed. Like, that was just irrational, right? But because when Mel was focused on getting somebody back, Sharon, who had done dirty and deserved it, like, it was nice to see her coming so hard for somebody who deserved it. Because Sharon had been skating on that for way too long, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. How'd you feel about
having
that?
Somebody finally find out about it was great. Yeah. But I feel that she should have told Lisa the entire story so that way it would have all came out. I was kind of hoping it would come out more by Christmas or something. That she was like, I know you did this. I know you did this. But, you know. I do have a feeling that, you know, since they're both 7 months pregnant, 8 months pregnant, they're both going to be popping around Christmas. So.
Well, of course. And hopefully baby Peggy doesn't get murked.
Yeah, no kidding.
You know? Yeah. So, all right. So that's that one. My next one, everything having to do with Keegan and Tiff tying the knot.
Yes!
I mean, I just thought it was fabulous. You know,
it was just like watching them try to hide everything from everybody and trying to do it on the fly was quite possibly the most beautiful thing I've seen two teenagers do.
And I also appreciate, like, they were wise to the fact that their families wanted them to split, and they made it a point to work to stay together to prove everybody wrong. And so far, they have proved everybody wrong. You know, I love how last minute it was, like, the family coming to accept them as a couple and accept them at the wedding last minute. Karen being all supportive and you know.
I'm sorry I broke up your almost gay wedding. My daughter's gay.
That was funny,
gay.
Too. I was like,
my daughter's gay. Please don't make me feel any worse than I already do.
That's good. You know, Keegan's been through some things. He's being racially profiled now.
Oh, yeah.
His homeboy.
Let's not talk about that. That made me mad.
Yeah, that was annoying. Tiff as well. You know, she just survived a rape. found a man who loves her, who is a virgin, by the way, before Tiffany.
Yeah.
And, I mean, what? They want to rock and they want to be together in this young love. And I don't feel like a lot of stories do the development of young love really well, but I think EastEnders is definitely knocking it out of the park.
You see, I hope they don't do, like, the Prince Lily route, where they get together, they move into this little apartment.
And immediately and have problems.
Fighting over the smallest things because they don't have the money for it, and blah, blah, blah. Because that would make me mad, because these two have worked so hard to realize how much they cared for each other. And if they break up, like, because of something stupid,
yeah,
I will be mad and I will call Kate Oates the killer of Young Love.
I will
just
be right
like I called you. Ian McLeod the killer of Young Love.
I will be right there with you, baby girl. 100%. Yes. Let's switch gears and jump to Emmerdale. What did Emmerdale do to make you say, what in the hell?
I'm turning both Aaron and Kane into flippin' whiner, terrible people who get four-year-olds kidnapped. Killed my soul. Kane and Aaron both basically lost the loves of their lives. Rest in peace, Eric Sugden, Robert Sugden, we hate you. But it's just like, you watch them both spiral so far out of control that they go and, you know, do what they always do. They've done it before. And then get Charity's child kidnapped and just left him with somebody who wasn't particularly paying attention to much of anything anyway, and she just wanted to go back to school. I'm just like, I was just like, dude, no, I'm not okay with this. I'm not okay with Kane being, I am the queen of the Kane Dingle fan club. We're not going to go into that. But he is being so stupid to everybody right now that I want to punch him in the face.
Go on.
But my second thing is, I've grown to like Mandy, but I didn't like how she initially came on the show and she told the story about why she was there in the quote-unquote two-person dingle court. I'm just like, at the second I saw Charity's face as she's telling the story, I knew she was involved. Just like, oh, fuck. Shit's gonna go down between her and Vanessa, and lo and behold, they broke up for a month, and it ruined Charity so hard. I was just like, you know what? It was her own fault. She should have said something.
Yep.
But she didn't. And it was her fault that they broke up for a month and made them both completely miserable. And then they got back together and everything was great again.
And I appreciated Vanessa breaking down how the problem wasn't like the lie in and of itself. The problem was she didn't trust her girl enough to let her know what was going on.
Yeah.
And I liked her highlighting, we're a partnership. You need to treat me like an equal partner, or we're going to have some problems up in this piece. And yeah, it looks like.
And then they were just like, dude, I'm done. And she walked out. And Charity went to pieces. And it was just like, you realize that you love somebody when you quite literally go to pieces. Aaron did it. Kane did it. Both Vanessa and Charity did it. So you know exactly. Hell, Moira did it, even though she quote-unquote feels numb. Oh, yeah, I said that in air quotes, too. But I was just like, you can feel that they love each other based on how they react to different things.
Agreed.
And you saw how shit everyone went as soon as their significant others left. And this was like the ultimate month of breakup central for a lot of the characters, including our well-branded mate, Kane and Moira, who have been together for flipping years, all because Moira couldn't keep her hands off his son, which is gross.
Agreed.
But it's not like they knew that. But, you know, what can you do?
You know, we weren't watching with when that pairing got together, but they really worked.
Yeah, they were wonderful together for the entire time they were on. I did not see the words, "Oh my God, you make me feel nothing." Yeah. Like what she said in that conversation, "I needed to feel something," she says. I'm like, fuck off, you felt plenty.
Yeah. They just really worked together, and it's an unexpected pairing, but I kind of like the way their differences kind of complement each other and the relationship. And so, yeah, I think, yeah, I understand all the love, and I appreciate, like, it's a grown-up thing. Vanessa's just like, just clue me in. I'm your partner. Fill me in, you know?
Yeah, it's like that last scene she had when she was just like, please, just tell me when you're going to do something stupid.
Yeah.
And then they kissed and made up, and I'm just like, yay, at least one couple got back together.
Agreed. Was that your three, baby girl? Was that two?
Oh, I think that was two. What was my other one? Bernice's exit story.
Ugh. So disappointed.
I was devastated when, for one, I knew she wasn't going to last long because I knew in advance that she was going to leave, which was stupid on my part. But, you know, I was looking up exits for something else, and I saw that, and I'm like, no! But I hate cabin goes, especially for characters that are as well established as she is. And just seeing her get all excited at her Hindu, and both of them were doctor and nurse Hindus, and stag nights, and they were having so much fun, and then, oh, my dad was in a car accident, I want to go home.
Hmm.
I'm like, then go home. And then when they're like, and then she's like, oh, I'm going to go help Charlie full time. I'm just like, okay, so you're going to go help your husband that is near death, who's never been on screen,
exactly.
And you cared about for apparently 2 seconds before moving back to Emmerdale. Good on you!
I think what annoys me is, like, her daughter coming back. I think her daughter was cast under Ian's reign.
Mm-hmm.
And so just like her daughter coming back and saying all this stuff about moving to Emmerdale just to like treat her mom like crap when her dad had a car accident, and which made Bernice feel like she wanted to go take care of this guy.
Yeah, it was like guilt tripping her almost. Yeah. Which killed my soul a little bit.
And then, like, what about her and Liam? Like, she left town without even telling him. Like, I just don't understand why they went that way.
Yeah, they were like, here's the locket back. I don't wanna take it in case I may lose it. I'm like,
how long? I don't wanna take it because I'm never coming back again.
Yeah, I'm not coming back. I'm gonna, you know, help my ex-husband, who I evidently love more than you. or I'm guilt-tripped to love more than you. I'm just like, dude, no. That was not okay with me at all. Ian McLeod has the habit of bringing on characters to guilt-trip other characters into doing stupid shit.
Yeah.
He did it on Hollyoaks. Did it on Corey. And he's doing it here.
Agreed. Oh, this show. Two quick things that we did not mention for What the Hells is both involving Aaron. Aaron was whining about Robert getting 14 years for murder when he got 0 years for killing Katie. Sorry about it. Wrong crime, but he's getting the time he deserves. That was the best. Something that I thought was also a mess, that whole support group fiasco. So listen, I love Patty setting up the support group for Chaz because it was clear that she needed it. But the point that we didn't need was, what's her name? Wendy. Wendy did not need to be involved in that at all. That was totally unprofessional. She should have totally recused herself from that. Because, she's, I think, a nurse. And she's here to advise all these new moms on how to be a good mom. Meanwhile, she's spent the past 3 months screaming in Victoria's face, "My son didn't rape you," when he's totally a rapist. How are you advising mamas about anything? Go away. You know what I'm saying? It was just, I could.
But what really got me about that was Chaz suddenly got all happy and joyous after she's like, "Let me examine your baby." I'm like, I would not let that cow examine my child.
But think about the history of the show. Robert tried to kill Patty, Aaron, and Chaz.
Fair point.
That show let all of those people act like Robert was the greatest thing since sliced bread. I'm like, no. Just hell to the no with regards to that. Let's jump to scenes of the week, baby girl. What did Emmerdale do that you liked?
Emmerdale did quite a few things that I liked. Mm-hmm. I liked, as much as I hate Lydia as a character, I loved the fact that Mandy and Vinny went through all the trouble to... Mandy and Vinny grew on me so much over the past couple months. It's not even funny. I think Vinny's awesome, and I think his crush on Belle is cute. But I love the fact that they actually went through the trouble to break into the solicitor's office to get Lydia's inheritance stuff from the solicitor so she could figure out where she got the money from that, you know, she didn't get much of, but, you know, they wanted to figure out where she got it. Mandy and Vinny tried to, you know, go in as Lydia and try to get it. And Mandy fucked up like she always does. And then they go back and steal it, and they figure out that her mom's alive and meeting her sister Beth, and Beth not liking her at first, and all the Lydia family drama was really well done. Learning that she could have Huntington's disease and all that stuff, and how she's freaking out whether she should take the test and finally resolved to after, you know, reading the letter from her dad. And I thought it was really well played.
Yeah, you know how I feel about Lydia, but I do like the new mom. Like, Lydia and her sister could go, but the new mom could stay.
I'm all for the new mom.
Yeah, she's great. Yeah. She is great. Any other scenes of the week for Emmerdale?
I lovishly hate how much I ship Rona and Graham.
Yes. Agreed.
Because now that I know that Graham is leaving,
we're on the Titanic.
I am going to be crying my eyes out when it happens. And I'm just like, they went through all this trouble to bring them together just so Kim Tate, queen of the bitches, throw an anniversary party for them. Happy wedding anniversary, dear. I'm like,
Loved it. Emmerdale keeps coming with these surprises, and that was another perfect twist.
And with Graham finally letting it unintentionally, in air quotes, slip that Millie is his, or could essentially be his, and Kim going all out on getting a DNA test. Let's hope it's Jamie's, or you're going to have some trouble on your hands.
I thought it was perfect.
Yes, please.
Yes. The drama that's going to hit those Dales on Christmas Day. I can't wait.
I agree, because they took that test real quick. I was just like, I love that family so much that I hate them. And that is exactly what you want in a soap. A family that you love to hate. When there's that one oblivious guy in the corner who knows next to nothing, and then you have everybody else scheming and trying to figure out a way to not let that one person, who was the nicest fucking person in the entire damn family, not know that his child might not be his.
I don't know about him being the nicest person in the family, because I sure remember his ass a couple weeks ago scheming to take Kim for all she was worth, and a couple weeks before that calling Kim all out her name for not being the best mom in the world when he was being shaded the whole time. So, but
I don't care. He's the nicest.
He's not the nicest person in the world. But
I didn't
you
say
in
the world. I said in the family. There's a difference.
Yeah, I don't think he's the nicest person. I think he's the dumbest person in the family. That's a difference.
I said,
the nicest person in the family is Millie.
That well, is true. Yeah. Millie is the cutest thing ever. I want to know, though, there is this one thing that really grounded my gears a little bit. She seriously broke her leg less than a month ago. And she's walking around again. When she was sitting in a wheelchair less than a month ago with a completely fractured leg because of a horse, and she's walking around as if nothing happened.
She poured some Tussin on it.
But yeah, I mean,
problem
like...
solved.
I love the Tates. The Tates as a family unit are probably my favorite family besides Dingles.
Yes, and I'm going to have you pause there because you set up where I was going to go perfectly and you have taken me there again. You were talking about everybody being against one person. Well, we had a situation set up where somebody was definitely in the line of fire, and that was Kane Dingle. Because his crazy behind decided to mess with the wrong man and steal the wrong man's car. So that man had had Charity's child kidnapped and threatened to return 2/3 of that child the way he returned 2/3 of the cars that were stolen. Like, whew. He did not get that child returned, went like she said that he should do, came home shrugging because she didn't have a child. She's thinking her child is dead.
And the mate popped in.
Yes, just stirring it all up. And then, like, you know, everybody's expecting her to be gracious. I was like, I was on Charity's side. I was like, no.
The only two people that Charity was okay with was Liz, because she flat out told her exactly what happened and didn't realize that something was amiss until she was like, dude, Kane dropped him on me. And Nate, who nobody should have any feelings for, but she actually, she and Belle are the only two Dingles that'll actually sit and talk to him with any mind of goodness. I kind of like Nate for bringing him back. I still hate him as a character, but bringing him back was probably the best thing ever. That is just like,
I like the tension that it brought up, but I was kind of annoyed because this is easy for Kane to understand. Had Charity been responsible for Debbie's death, he would have never forgiven her. So he should have been totally on board with her being as angry as she was about what happened to her child with Ross. And he actually should have been the one to set that up, but to say that. But I do appreciate that this tension now has a tension between Charity and Chaz and Charity and Kane. And, you know, those are some of the strongest relationships on the show. So I think, again, this is just another setup for a very explosive Christmas when I think a lot of this stuff is going to get rehashed. And I think it's going to be fire. I think it's going to be fire.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yes. Yes. So with that, I will say that I'm at Brother Soap.
And I'm at Lindsay Amanda.
And remember, stay tuned post-credits for our Corey chat. And until then, have a very, very Merry Christmas. Wait, let me say it like TLC. Have a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Bye, y'all.
Bye.
So we're back post-credits, everyone, to talk about Coronation to the Street. And joining me to do so is the man that is at D-Day, that is at DJ Sugar Shane on the Twitters. Shane, what's going on this evening?
Doing much, man. How you been?
Well, I mean, my man hadn't found out that I'm like engaged to some other chick at the same time as I'm engaged to him, so I guess I'm good.
Well, that's good. Yeah, that's good. That's always a good day. That's always a good way to end the day.
You know, when I was single, like, I used to like try to date, like go on like dates with like two dudes in a week, sometimes like a different dude every week, just to kind of, you know, I was young, wanted to get out there and I wanted to meet people, right? But this is the thing, that shit is expensive. So I'm like, how the fuck is Robert doing this shit? Like, him and Michelle to have buddy problems over the years. I don't know how he got the money to be like romancing two women at the same time. I don't get it.
Yeah, and he's having to buy two wedding bands.
I'm saying.
What you two doing? Engagement rings. Yeah, he must be making some money somewhere.
And I mean, he know he got a baby on the way. He ain't trying to put nothing in savings for his kids' college. I mean, come on now.
No. It's too busy spending money trying to hide it.
For real. Shut. Trip. All right, brother. We're going to get into these what the hells for Coronation Street. Tell me what Coronation Street did to make you say, what's in the hell?
Well, my verse about the hell is kind of funny, but it's kind of truthful, too. You know, Roy has found this new brother he's had. Yes. And, I like the storyline a little bit. It's pretty not too bad. I like Roy anyway. I always like Roy just about anything he does. I always have liked him. Agreed. But one of the things I think is kind of odd is this Nina chick.
That's his
niece or whatever, you know.
I can't. She's so goddamn distracted. I need her away.
what gets me is if your damn daddy's dying, don't walk around dressed like the damn Grim Reaper.
I didn't even think of that.
I mean, I was thinking about it the other night. I said, hell, dude be laying in the bed and the nights is out and she comes in to get him some coffee. Hell, he'll die of a heart attack thinking the Reaper coming again.
Oh, that is so good. I didn't even, you know, the first time I saw them together, I was just like, who is this goth chick? Why is she dressed like that? And every time they're in the scene together, I'm so distracted. But now that you just said this shit, I'm a be I'm like, what's that shit? Is it a sickle or a scythe? What the fuck? That's all she needs.
I think even if I was goth, if it looked like death, I think when my daddy was on his deathbed, I'd try to tone it down a little bit.
That is crazy. I don't get it. It's just so out of place. And to me, takes me out of the whole story.
I never understood the goth thing anyway. I'm not knocking anybody that is into it. But to me, it's so 1990.
Right.
It's so far.
That was when we were in high school.
Yeah, Interview with the Vampire, stuff like that's what brought it in the first damn place. But, I mean, but now? Jesus.
Yeah.
2019, man.
I have not seen that shit since I was in school in like 95. You hear what I'm saying?
Me either.
So I'm just what the fuck is this? Now, I know the producer who does the show is our age, but dude, like, come on, get with the program. Ain't nobody walking around here like no goddamn goth these days.
Yeah.
Unless they had a fucking rave. Come on now.
Who has them anymore? That's, I don't even know if I have those. Yeah. Of course, I'm not in touch with the school scene, but still, maybe they do, but I don't even know if they have them.
Come on. It's just distracting. Like, it's a serious story. Yeah. The guy found his brother. The person is dying. You don't need Casper, the goddamn evil ghost, like, floating around during this, in the background. It's ridiculous.
Every time she comes around, you're causing problems for my dad, you know? And I'm like, all he did was take him to the damn bathroom,
What the fuck? The damn the damn nursing person ain't got time to stay there but for 5 minutes because she got other shit to do.
I know. Every time she comes by, she's there 5 minutes. I'm like, good God. Damn, you better get some better nurses.
And you know, I think what she talked to Carla Roy one time about, you know, the whole work schedule, and then she got pissed off and quit. So I'm just like,
yeah.
Okay. What is happening? And Nina, who's apparently, or whatever her name is, who is like taken off of college, so she ain't going to school. She's doing this shit by herself because the nurses ain't there. But she's upset that like there's new people around who could maybe help. I'm like, I don't get it. Like, don't you want to go see your little goth boyfriend? Like,
yeah, like, what you doing? Go suck his blood or something.
Jesus. Shoot, that's like on the conversation street the other day. The conversation street, they were talking about underworld evolution. Like, she could be the one, the vampire.
Yeah. On the show. Yeah, I haven't listened to that one yet. I got to check that one out.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
I know they get a kick out of this chick, I'm sure.
She's so distracting and deadpan. And I just don't get what the point is. Like, and like, if it's gonna be that Roy needs to take care of her after the brother dies, like, no, I don't want her on the show long term. She's annoying. And I mean, you know, Roy is a unique enough character, and we just don't need anybody else like that's weird in that orbit.
The only thing I could see him doing probably is if she does stay on the show for any length of time. He may very well bring her out of that look and try to make her more down to earth.
But she's not interested.
Because he's the type I know that, but he's the type of guy I think he can come across as telling the truth, but be nice about it at the same time. Mm. He could be like, why you gotta, you know, you're pretty without all that. You know, he's that type of guy that could be like, you don't need all that white paint on your face, you know, or whatever the case may be. And he could, you know, he's that type of guy. I don't know if that's going to happen. But he's the type of guy that could pull that off to where it, because he's so innocent in so many ways that he could say something and nobody get offended by it. Yeah. You know, the way he would say it. But I may be wrong, and I don't know that she's going to stick around. I don't know. But, of course, you got Seb or whatever his name is, dating Emma now. I guess he's done gave up on that. I guess that chick ain't coming back from the nail salon.
Yeah, that girl that he was with, I never thought they should have been together in the first place. I don't know why I'm forgetting her name right now, but that's...
I don't remember either. I don't remember.
That's Gary's, like, little stepsister or whatever, but I don't like her. That's fine. But yeah, goth chick gotta go. I think there are enough distinct personalities on Corey where we don't need a goddamn Grim Reaper floating around. Like,
no.
Totally agree.
Yeah. And then, like I said, if they do stick with it, they need to do something with it to change all that shit, because they don't need all that. Unless they're going to go Dark Shadows.
No, God. I do not want this producer to do that on this show. No,
we don't need another. What was that show? General Hospital or whatever it was?
Yeah.
And what was that?
No, that was name hospital. But you know what? I think this is the same show. Were you watching the show when they like had Peter and them going to that haunted house? I think it was for like a Halloween story, and they actually had like a little ghost that popped out.
This was last
year, the year before. Yeah, I have to show you a picture of the ghost, but it was they already kind of did that, and it was weak. It was silly. Oh goodness. What else you got for Corey's What the Hells?
Let me see what I got here. I thought it was kind of weird that not the guy that's playing the gay guy, but his brother Michael, is that his name?
Yep.
Okay. His mom got mad, or he got mad at his mom because he was trying to see Adam about rights for the daughter.
Wasn't that annoying?
I'm like, what in the hell do you think she's going to do, man? Girl done ran off with her one time. What do you think? I mean, hell, she wants to see her grandkids. She wants you to see your kid. She's going to have... I mean, you want to get some legal advice.
I was so pissed off with him. I totally agree with that. I just watched that like yesterday or the day before. And I'm just like, okay, so you in the parking lot, you see this chick that's your baby mama with a baby that you know she was pregnant by you. You know she went ghost. You see her. You call out to her. She sees you. Her immediate reaction is to get in the car, slam the door with your daughter in the back seat, and just take off as you're screaming like, hey.
Yeah.
And then the next day she comes to your house, talks shit about you in front of your family.
Yeah.
Then takes off with your child again. And you're saying the wrong party is mama? Hold on. Did your mama have your baby that she hid from you for like a year? Like what?
Right.
You didn't impregnate your mama. Your mama didn't decide to keep your baby from you. That's this trick.
If anything, she's looking out for you. That's, I mean, hell.
Like, it seemed completely stupid. Like, Michael seemed like a fucking idiot. Like, this
he is.
I don't like this new Grace chick. She's mean.
Me neither.
I cannot get over the fact that she just decided that Michael was going to have nothing to do with her kid because he didn't have a stable job or whatever. I mean, look, he looks like he's doing fine to me. He's at the house with the fam. He's got a supportive family around him. Seems like a nice enough guy. Ain't out here got two women on the go, engaged to both of them. Ain't out here being a serial killer, killing this one or the other, right? But she can't even, like, she can't, like, look, to walk into a black woman's house, a grown black woman's house, when you are basically a little girl to that woman, and to be that fucking disrespectful to the grandmother of your child, that would get that heifer's throat slit. Exactly.
Yeah. The one thing I thought they should have done and they didn't do was her husband, what's his name? He should have stood up, man.
Yeah. But that bro, I don't like that dude too much. Like, I feel like his portrayal is a little tame.
Yeah, we mentioned that before that he's too theatrical. Exactly. I mean, it's like even his voice, even when he talks. I mean, he doesn't talk like he's. They're trying to make him a blue collar family,
but he sounds like he's on a stage doing a play.
Yeah, that sounds like he's. Oh, I've got to go get the lumber.
It's very strange
from the yard.
Yeah. It's very strange, and all black folks on soaps don't sound like that. Patrick Truman on EastEnders don't sound like that. You know what I'm saying? The brother who is Bailey's dad on EastEnders don't sound like that. They just sound like normal people. But my brother, he's doing a stage play, but it's like, dude, you're on TV. Calm down. Calm down. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, tone that shit down, man.
But honestly, you are in the presence of a black woman, and you know you stole basically her grandchild for X amount of times. You're a mother now, so you understand the bond between woman, mother, and child. And you mean to tell me you can't even relate to the sister that's upset with you for keeping her grandchild away from her, and probably more importantly, her son's child away from her son? Like, she showed no empathy. And all this bullshit she was talking about, the family being so, like, you know, or Michael specifically being so unfit to be a father. Like, we haven't seen any of the bullshit she was talking on the show. We just hear her making these assumptions about who he is. And I guess the show wanted us to accept that. But I was just like, no, this is bullshit.
The only thing I could see where she would be coming from, and this wouldn't be no reason not to let him see his kid, was they did talk about before he started getting this job and working with his dad, he was one of these pipe dreamers. Mm-hmm. He was all the time wanting to start some new gimmick that didn't make a damn bit of sense. Mm-hmm. And it would go down to like he was wanting to help Jim's mom with the piss test, mm-hmm. with the sticks and all that. So maybe she thought, well, she would be wasting her time with him because he's never going to amount to nothing. That's fine, whatever you want to think. But that still ain't no reason not to let him see his kid, you know, or at least let the grandparents see their grandkids, you know. That don't make any sense.
If you're 6 years old and you think, I want to be an astronaut so I can walk on Saturn, like, right. that ain't going to happen. But you don't just say, okay, well, you have no family now.
Right.
No, you talk to somebody. You be like, okay, baby, well, why don't you start with doing the moon? And you work on Saturn
baby
later.
Steps.
Right? That's how I feel like, okay, this was your man. Like, or y'all were connected enough for you to get pregnant by this guy. So you couldn't talk with him about your concerns about his job. Your decision is just, oh, you have some stupid thoughts, so I'm going to steal your baby. Because that isn't a stupid thought. I'm just going to raise a child by myself because you have stupid financial dreams. Oh, okay.
Right.
Did he hit you? Did he try to kill you? Did he say he was going to murder your child when the child came out of the womb? Like, to me, that would be a reason to keep your baby. But really, because somebody has stupid financial dreams or makes dumb money decisions, which we all do from time to time, you're going to keep your child? Come on now.
And what gets me about these kind of women is they do that then, but lo and behold, the dude actually have one fall through. And he actually got rich off of it. I get you, her ass be coming knocking on the door then.
On Jerry Springer, whatever the British equivalent is, trying to claim you the father. And then all of a sudden, child support. Yeah, it's trash. I don't like that Grace chick. She can go.
I'm ready for some
tragic accident to befall her so she could leave that baby with the fam.
Yeah, it wouldn't break my heart, no.
Because I feel
and the last one.
That'll be something that'll help him wise up. If he is all of a sudden responsible for a baby, he's going to chill out with them pipe dreams and he's going to do what he got to do to work and make sure he got things taken care of for him and the baby. I think that'll work out perfectly.
Yeah.
But you know, you actually have to involve the father in the fucking conversation for him to maybe be able to do that.
Yeah.
Which he didn't. So, But anyway, I'm sorry. Go ahead on, brother. What's your third?
My last one is Jade starting the fire that Hopes gets the blame for.
Yeah.
She's got it out for Fizz. That's what I'm saying. She's got it out for Fizz.
And that's where I'm going. So, like, listen to the Conversation Street, and I think they've been watching the show much longer than me. They were like, they don't even remember John mentioning he had a daughter during the time on the show. I don't remember him having a daughter during that time on the show or mentioning it either. And because of the nature of him, like, I don't even understand why this chick would be coming at Fizz.
That's what I'm trying to gather. I mean, I thought it was her daughter or something, so now I'm really confused on what the hell she's supposed to be doing there.
So basically, it's like Fizz's bumbling ex-boyfriend. Like, I don't even understand, like, why this daughter would be going against Fizz. Because it's not like she really did anything, like, to the guy.
Right.
He accidentally killed somebody. So I don't understand the chick's motivations, but it's just weird. So anyway, the baby that Fizz did have a baby with this dude, and that's Hope. So that girl is Hope's sister. So the little father's daughter baby? Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's Fizz's child with John. And so Jade is John's daughter by, we don't know who that mama is. And so, but again, I don't know why she's blaming Fit. Like, I don't get it. So it's weird. But
So that's not Ty's daughter then?
No.
Oh, okay. I thought it was his.
I don't remember if they're married, but if they are married, that's the only way.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And then the little black baby. So Ty was with this abusive sister named Kirsty. The black baby is Ty's biological daughter with Kirsty, who he was with before Fizz.
Oh, okay.
And Ty ended up getting with Fizz because, the sister, she was physically abusing Tyrone. It was a big storyline on Coronation Street for some time. And Fizz helped him get out of that situation.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And that's how they ended up together. And I loved them together. So, yeah, this Jade chick, I want her to go.
Yeah, that pisses me out. I was like, what the hell? I had to look it up because I couldn't figure out what the hell, who the hell it was when they showed the tombstone. So I Googled it up to see who it was, and I saw that she had been in a relationship with Fizz, and that's why I thought it was that, you know, but I guess not.
Yeah, they definitely went back in the timeline for this storyline. I don't understand where this is coming from, but
kind of like the Kane and Nate deal.
Exactly. That's a good comparison. Yes, that's it. All right. So you have actually mentioned two of mine. So I had, well, 1 hour deleted. I had Michael being mad at his mama for being smart and not accepting Grace. That was another one I had. But I do still have two more. So,
okay.
I'm going to jump to Michelle. So I watched the week where Michelle found out what happened with Robert. And I didn't like how Michelle, like, came at Vicky. Like, she found out her man had cheated. She goes by Vicky's house to figure out her role in things. And instead of her being accepting of, like, we were both screwed, she's basically in Vicky's face talking about, like, you're so common, Robert would never give you the time of day. And I just thought, girl, you know he cheated.
Yeah.
What are you doing? It just was so odd to me. I'm like, what is this attitude? Why is she sounding like some mean girl? Like, what the hell is this?
And the more evidence she gave her, the more she kept denying it. I'm like, damn, dude, what she got to do?
It was ridiculous. And I was so pissed off. So, like, when she went back home and was telling Robert, oh, Robert, I forgive you. I was like, oh, my God, you were the dumbest heifer on the planet. And then the ending scene was her, like, calling up somebody about the bistro or whatever. And I was like, oh, she playing him. But I was just like, why do you need to be so rude to Vicky
when
your man was the one that cheated?
Right.
So, yeah, that just got on my nerves.
And the thing about it is, really, technically, when it happened, when it happened, they were on a break.
Mm-hmm.
So she shouldn't be really mad at Vicky.
True that.
And she really... And if Robert would have been honest in the first place, they might not have gotten back together, but he couldn't have been really mad with him either.
Right.
But the problem is he's been hiding it and still sleeping with her.
Right.
Why he been with Michelle? That's the issue. That's the problem there. And he's been playing them both, saying that he ain't got nothing to do with Michelle anymore, and he ain't even mentioned nothing about Vicky and being with her. So he's been playing them both. Why, that's the issue they should have, and they should be not mad at each other, but mad at his sore ass.
Exactly. 100%. Yeah. So I'm glad she kind of switched up a little bit, but I really didn't like the way that she came at Vicky. I thought that was complete bullshit. And we'll see how that goes. But I kind of like
Vicky. Be honest with you.
Vicky's great.
I mean, I didn't at first. Yeah. I didn't at first. Whenever they had that, it wasn't. But with the Robert deal. It was with the Tracy and the daughter deal that I didn't like her.
I think, but Vicky, like, came on the show towards the end of Kate Oates' run, because I remember seeing her for a little bit. She had worked at the little knicker factory, the little underwear factory for a little bit, and she just came in ruffling feathers. But she was great. Like, I thought she was really good. And I kind of like her in this storyline, too. She reminds me a lot of Myra on Emmerdale with her accent. And with her strength.
Yeah.
And I just thought she held herself up pretty well. But I don't know why she messed with Robert. And I appreciated her not taking a whole lot of shit from Michelle. Like, she was telling
them, right,
the heifer, okay, I'll get you mad. But look here, you ain't the only one with a ring heifer.
Yeah, exactly. I know, man. She didn't take no shit. She didn't back down. They're like, get the hell out of here. You know, man? I like it.
Funny. So I think Vicky gonna be good regardless, but I was just like, Michelle, nah, sis, you tripping. And the other thing that I didn't like, so David's in prison with the dude that raped him.
Mm-hmm.
These dudes are trying to convince him, hey, kill the motherfucker because he raped you, and basically the show let you do nothing about it. And so David's in a position where he could do something to the dude, but then he doesn't. And then on top of that, all of a sudden, the dudes who helped him to who hurt his rapist to get the rapist back for raping David, now they're being mean to David? I was just like, what? What is happening?
They don't want him
But it was
to
annoying because
Yeah.
my whole problem with this whole David rape storyline is the show never lets David get the upper hand. I mean,
Right.
initially he
Right.
got raped. After he got raped and realized that he got raped and that Josh did it, he silently sat there as Josh hung around his son. Josh hung around Chesney. And he, at that time, was concerned that Chesney might get raped by this dude. He didn't tell Chesney anything about the dude, right? So, when I was watching recent episodes, when Chesney snapped because, his wife and brother-in-law got his ch child around a pedophile. I flash back to how I felt like Chesney would have reacted
Yeah.
back in the day because David, didn't say anything. And then with the rapist, Corey did a thing that a lot of these bitter soaps do. David's anger, instead of taking his anger out on his rapist, he got pissed off and beat up Gary really bad. And so he ends up going to jail for assault for beating Gary. Meanwhile, his rapist is still out of jail. So,
Yeah.
every time this show gets a chance to either they're at a fork in the road, they could either do something positive for David or do something negative for David. They keep doing negative shit for him. So now he's back in jail again. Now his rapist is there. And then they're gonna shit on him again by having him not only not do anything to hurt the motherfucker that raped him, he saves the dude's life. And then he's got to deal with thugs in prison being mad with him because. I was just like, well, y'all just stop.
Well,
Can David win
you know
once?
he's out now, right?
Well, yeah, I've seen it,
Okay, Paul got it. Paul's the one that helped get him out.
I even have a problem with that. Why do you have to have a brand new character, Paul, come in to save David when they could have written
Right.
that David saved his motherfucking self? Maybe he beat
Exactly.
Josh's ass, and that would have been enough to make Josh tell the truth. And when the cop asked who beat you up, he said, nobody, I fell down the stairs. That would have been some type of something to make David look better. But they keep making David a victim. And that's a tough character.
Yeah,
He's
yeah.
always real tough. So for them to keep choosing to make him look like a punk, I'm just like, I ain't here for
Well,
that.
if it ain't Josh, it's Nick. Somebody's always making him look like an old, like a.
Exactly.
I mean,
And a character
and
you
he
didn't
should.
know before you started watching the show, there was this guy named Callum. So David had, I don't know if he was wife yet, but he had this girlfriend, eventually his wife, and her ex-boyfriend started coming around. And he would come into David's house, talk shit to him in his house, beat him up in his house, and David would do nothing. And I'm just watching the show wait a minute, dude, you've been
Damn.
tough all these years. Why is nothing
Jesus.
happening? And then Callum goes on to even, I can't remember, I think Callum tried to rape David's sister.
God.
And so he got killed, but was it by David? No, it was by David's wife.
God.
So, again, David does nothing. So, David helped cover up the murder. That's great. But, the show keeps emasculating this dude. His balls start to grow in a little bit, and somebody takes a machete and cuts him off. That's what they keep doing, and I don't get it. The dude is tough. I think in real life, he is a tough little dude. I don't understand why they keep making him look like a little bitch. I don't get it. It's weird.
Yeah, but that's how I feel about it too. I think in real life he could probably handle his own.
I'm saying. So I'm like, why the show won't let him? I mean, he keeps getting soap British soap awards, but I mean, let the dude win something once. Jesus.
Yeah, they need to.
Yeah, for real. I'm gonna keep going because I got a related thing, and you mentioned it for my scene of the week. I'm gonna just throw my first one
Okay.
out there.
Go ahead.
I thought Paul to the motherfucking rescue was the best goddamn thing. Because look,
Yeah.
this fucking Josh rape storyline started two goddamn years ago. So for 2 years, I have been waiting for David to step up, beat this dude, tell the cops what he did, do something to save himself from all this drama. That show wouldn't let him do anything. But you know what? They had Paul's ass walk up in there with that Janister's uniform.
Yeah, yeah.
And tell that motherfucker about himself and be like, all right, you can keep on fucking around if you want. But I know motherfuckers are going to make shit hard out here for you.
Yeah, he's like,
Josh like, no, nah, you don't know nobody. And then dude walks right out there and starts talking to the cop and just looking
at yeah, I know it. He's just talking to the cop, looking at him. He said, what you doing right now? Oh, man, I'm just hanging out around here. He just proving this shit. Then he goes there and tells me those people in prison, too, because he said, I've been out of here since I've been a kid.
I thought that was fucking perfect. I was so good. I just been waiting for that shit. So I was like, all right,
Paul, like you thing.
And then even I thought it was right, cool, Paul. Like last week when David and Paul finally got a chance to talk.
Yeah.
And Paul told David he's the one that helped get him out of prison. And I thought, even though, again, I still want David to step up, but I thought it was nice for them to like have a quick connection, even though David didn't understand why Paul was that concerned about him. But the words that David said helped to fuel Paul making a positive change in his own life, and I thought that was good. So,
yeah, I was hoping that when I heard him admit it, I was hoping it was maybe one of these deals where like Dave was going to get mad and be like, "What the hell are you doing in my business?" and shit like that. I'm glad they didn't go that route because I thought that's what they were fixing to do, and I was like, "Please don't do that shit."
Yeah.
But he didn't, so I was glad of that. I'm a huge Paul fan. I've been since day one, I believe. So yeah, I like him.
Totally agree. All right, let me throw it to you. What were your scenes of the week for Cora?
One of them I did was, I like Daniel's speech at the funeral. I like his speech at the funeral when he decided to finally go to the funeral. And he got up and he gave that speech. And what I liked about it is it wasn't talking down to, I mean, whether you believe it God or don't, he didn't talk down to anybody for them that did. He just simply said, you know, I wished I could. Right. He said, you know. He said, I wished I could, but I just can't grasp it. And he was just sincere. And he apologized for his part and what he had done and everything. And I thought it was well done. I thought it was a really good speech and, you know, kind of made it, you know, kind of brought some type of peace to it anyway, except for those old ninnies that you never see around. But the mother and the grandmother, they still got a problem with them, but hell with them. They ain't on but about every once or twice a year anyway. Screw them. Yeah. But
I consider myself to be atheist, so anytime a storyline recognizes the fact that we exist, I'm here for it. I'm like, great.
Right.
And I thought he did a good job.
Yeah, like I said, he didn't talk down on religion. Mm-hmm. He didn't talk up on it. He just kind of made it out there that I don't grasp it. He says that, you know, and he made it like that. And I was like, you know, that's cool as hell, you know, that he did it like that. I thought they did it well. You know, he didn't go out there.
It's not kind of making people feel bad about what they believe. It's just sharing that you have a different perspective. And yeah, I agree. They did that really well.
Yeah, and then the Paul breakdown, when he finally broke down and admitted to Gemma and his mama and everybody that he had what had happened.
Yes.
With him and Kale, that was a very good performance, a great performance. Yes. I mean, he did a hell of a damn good job. Gemma did a good job. Even Gemma did a good job with that. I mean, all of it was good.
Yeah,
and
they did perfect on that. And that's one of my other scenes of the week as well. Like, everything from them being supportive of Paul, you know, because sometimes how this works is like it's denial. And what Coronation Street did that I thought was cool is they had a little bit of mama not being able to deal with it, but she quickly accepted. And
yeah, she took that shit to the police department.
I was rooting for her too. I was like,
yeah,
Jesus, because I didn't want that shit to be hanging out there.
Yeah, yeah, she took that on down to the police department after she found that out, boy.
Yep.
Yeah, and then the other thing, it bothers Daniel again, is I was glad that Beth, whenever they had that moment where that she was comforting Daniel and she was hugging him, and, you know, she's like, you know, she, even though no matter what, this was Sinead's husband and she loved him, and, you know, and she's going to get past all that Bethany kiss shit anyway. That was just one kiss. It ain't that big a deal. And she's going to realize it ain't that big a deal enough to where you're going to cause pettiness between you and your family, so... I think she, you know, she realized that, and she was like, you know, hey, and then she was there to hug him when he was down, because she, you know, that's tough shit to be walking back into your apartment where your wife just died.
Yeah, especially after a pedophile just came in there and stole your shit.
Yeah, her videos. Mm-hmm. I'm glad he got that. He finally got that back. I'm glad of that. Yeah. He finally got that.
And look, yeah, she's going to get over him and Bethany because Bethany getting ready to leave the show, so.
Yeah. Don't
be bringing it up for too much.
Yeah, I don't want them two together, no way, just to be honest. I don't have nothing against Bethany as an individual, but I think that since they did do what they did, even if it was just a kiss, I don't think they need to get together. I think, you know, if he does find anybody down the road, it needs to be somebody new, somebody different. It don't need to be someone that causes a rift.
I actually thought that that was a perfect pairing because I'm not sure if you know, but in the past couple years, he's won the British Soap Award for Best Actor. The lady who plays Bethany has won the British Soap Award for Best Actress because her intro storyline had to deal with her getting involved with a sexual predator who was basically pimping her out to his friends. And she didn't understand it. She was 16 at the time. He was 36. In the UK, that's illegal. Like, you can, their 18 is 16 as far as sexual relationships go. But basically, yeah, he was pimping her out. And she didn't exactly realize it until it was too late. And then she kind of went through with the sex because she thought that's what she had to do because she was being manipulated by this guy. And she was perfect in that. Knowing how good
I caught a little piece of that understanding, but not all of it. That brought a little bit more to it. Yeah,
that's what went. It was a frustrating but really good storyline. She did a great job with it. So knowing that Corey was like putting together their best two actors in that respect, at least in the younger set, I thought that was wise. But then I found out like about 5 minutes after, I thought, ooh, that would be interesting, especially with Sinead dying. They could have conversations about how she looks like Sinead, and maybe they're going to do a thing where Daniel's like fixated on this woman that looks like his wife. But then I was like, wait, she's leaving the show. Well, that ain't going to happen. So, yeah. But I hope Corey's Daniel keeps on. I think that's Rob Mallard his name. But he's
excellent. Yeah, I hope he does too. Yeah, I agree.
All right, well, that wraps up our Corey chat. So, it's about to be Christmas time. We'll be coming back after the holidays. So I guess we can say Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, Happy Holidays.
Yeah, Happy Hanukkah, whatever it is you do.
And we will see you guys in the new year. So bye, y'all.